As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Toya plays it around the boards. 5 seconds left. It'll be played to the line, but not out. Chipped in along the boards and into the corner, and that'll do it. Close but no cigars, the old adage in sports.
Boy, even the untireable Joe Bowen sounds like at the end there, the final calls of tonight's game is, of course, the Toronto Blue Jays. A big win for them tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs. If you didn't catch it, actually a pretty good battle in many ways, but they lose 4-3 to the Florida Panthers. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame. Switching gears a little bit, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And, of course, we connect as often as we can with our man Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, to chat about the game and what else is going on around the National Hockey League. What can you say about tonight's game, Chris?
Well, it was a heck of a third period by the Leafs. They made it awfully close, and you know, I'll give them credit for that, but clearly not a near complete enough effort, I guess, for them to come away with some points.
Hey, Chris, have you ever seen a game with more controversial calls, interference, not knowing what is inner goal interference, what isn't? I mean, it was nuts tonight. It seemed like almost every single goal, they had to have a review or the check on something to see if the goal counted or not.
Yeah, there was a lot of it. I have to confess, guys, that for me, I don't mind the reviews. I mean, it disrupts the flow, and obviously in an ideal world, we wouldn't have them. But to me, getting it right is more important. And, you know, I've seen some discussion about this, especially at the playoffs coming, that there's a thought that they're going to mess it up. But, you know, on both calls tonight, I actually understood it. The first goal that the Leafs scored that was called back, I mean, Brad Boys, you know, had basically his arm, I think it was inadvertent, in Montoya's face and was preventing him from being able to make that save. And on the one that did count, it was almost like bowling pins there with the guys getting knocked over in front of him. And, you know, I was fine with that one counting. So, you know, it might not be the popular opinion right now, but, you know, I'm okay with what the league's doing with this because, you know, ultimately it is about getting the calls right, and it's a fast game, and, you know, sometimes it's tough to do that in real time.
Yeah, no, I think I speak for Todd as well. I concur with you that way about getting it right. That's what you have the technology for. It was just very unusual to see that many in a short period of time. And, I mean, I'm glad it happened, not in a Game 7 of a Stanley Cup Final, for example, but it just right. Was kind of a funny animal that if you just turned on at one time to watch, you would have thought every goal gets reviewed and gets scrutinized that way. Just one of those things.
Well, and I have to think, to be honest, like projecting ahead to the playoffs, we might get a lot of it because, you know, that's where the goals are scored. And you're just not seeing, you know, especially in the playoffs, everything tightened up so much and the focus is on not making mistakes, I think, defensively for a lot of teams. And, you know, you're going to have almost scrum type of plays or certain teams will be looking for tips in front and creating some havoc. So, you know, this probably might be a precursor to what we're going to see. I hate to say, because I do understand that the argument. I mean, it felt like that third period took hours to play. And, you know, it's too bad because it had some good zip to it with goals and the Leafs mounting a pretty, you know, ferocious comeback. But, you know, I'm not sure the answer right now beyond the fact that I just think in today's day and age, we've got to get the calls right and to the best that you can do that. And, you know, sometimes that means slowing the game down, having the refs look at that high definition screen and make a ruling.
Chris, you know, it was a very conscious effort by Mike Babcock tonight to put the Gauthier line out against Barkov's line. And Freddie Gauthier had 20 minutes and 12 seconds against the top line tonight. How do you do?
You know, I thought he did pretty well, all things considered. I know Barkov did score the one goal there to make it 4-2, ultimately the winning goal, just after the Leafs had got it back to 3-2. So that was, you know, a big moment in the game. But, you know, given that Freddie Gauthier is, I don't believe he's yet even 10 games into his NHL career. And you know, while Barkov's a young player, he's clearly going to be a stud in this league for a long time. That was his 27th goal of the season this year. And were he not injured, he'd certainly be a 30-goal scorer on the season. So, you know, given that line has really propelled Florida for a lot. I thought that you know, he did okay in those circumstances, and you know, I'm sure that's some of what they're trying to do is give these guys a test beyond any that they faced before, and you know, just to expose them to, I guess, what this league can be. And you know, for Freddie Gauthier, a guy isn't the swiftest of foot. I thought he really handled that job pretty well.
TJ Brennan scoring a goal, and Todd seems to have some insight about him, wondering if there's any kind of future in the NHL. Maybe the Calder Cup playoffs will help determine. It seems like this is a guy that has a lot of value over in Europe if he's not going to get an NHL contract next year.
Yeah, I certainly don't think we're going to see him as a regular NHLer. That ship seems to have sailed. I mean, he's produced constantly at the American Hockey League level for 3, 4, 5 seasons. And, you know, he has seen NHL games, you know, a couple each year. And you know, even a couple years, I think, was, you know, 20-odd games a season. But never able to last long-term. And I just think at his age, it would be quite surprising to see that happen. I mean, even this year, being on a team where there's so much opportunity for the players playing down at the Barleys, and, you know, he's only seen limited call-up action with the Leafs. So he's got a long future in hockey because, you know, even producing the way he does at the AHL level, I mean, these guys, I don't know his contract off the top of my head, but some of these guys are making $200,000 or $300,000 to play in the AHL on their two-way deals. And, you know, there's obviously good living for him in this, whether it's here in North America or he looks towards Europe at some point, because his shot is an NHL caliber shot. I just don't know that he has all the rest of the tools to stick here for a long period of time.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I know there's a lot of European coaches and scouts over here right now. I'm actually going to go have lunch with a couple of buddies of mine that own a team over in Germany. So they will be looking at TJ Brennan and trying to get him over there. I can guarantee you that. Chris, Stephen Kampfer tonight, you know, not huge numbers in the NHL and stuff, but how about that hit on Frankie Corrado today? I have never seen a guy do basically a complete flip in the air and almost landing on his feet. I mean, that is a highlight hit that you're going to see on every television program for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that was Frankie's rock'em sock'em moment there.
Maybe on the bad end of it.
I was going to say, maybe not in this case, one he'll be happy about because he's the one getting hit. But, you know, very fortunate, I think, to your right, to basically do the full flip and land feet first. You know, I'm sure he didn't feel great after that, but there was a lot of potential to, you know, get a knee caught or maybe twist an ankle somehow if he landed more awkwardly. But, I mean, that was quite something. I don't recall ever seeing a guy go right around like
that. No, never. Not a complete 360. Like, he went right over.
Like, if he didn't, there was a chance he could have stuck the landing if he went just a little bit more and actually, like, kept going. So, I mean,
that would have been awesome.
Amazing. It was good to see him get up quickly, though, and finish off the game. And, you know, I think he's all right. But you're right. That no matter what Frankie does now, that'll be probably one of the most played clips for the rest of his career
involving him.
Chris Johnston joining us, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. 4-3, the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Going back a few hours, it's funny, we didn't chat about it much on Saturday after the game, but Todd and I were sitting together, and we were surprised Nazem Kadri didn't get 5 in a game on that Glendinning hit on Saturday. Then we kind of forgot about it. We kind of parked it, right? And it was Greg Kimmerle's last game, and refereeing and all these kinds of things. So it was interesting when it came up today about the hearing and the 4-game suspension, about what you expected, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, once I got a chance to digest it, I'll say I in real time, I thought he got the shoulder. And even when I saw some initial replays that night, or one replay, I didn't realize he'd struck him basically flush in the neck or the side of the head. And you know, the Department of Player Safety from the NHL did a good job of identifying a clip that showed that quite clearly. And you know, just given Nazem's history with, you know, having got a 4-game suspension last March, a 3-gamer the March before that, you know, that's a tough thing for him to come back from, having previously been suspended for hits or blows to the head and then, you know, doing it again in this case. You know, that to me suggests that he was getting at least 4 games. I thought maybe even 5, but, you know, tough play for him. I mean, it cost him lots of money and you know, he doesn't want to be in for that, but I mean, probably the toughest punishment of all is he's likely, unless he gets invited to the World Championship to play for Canada, is you know, done playing any level of hockey now until September. And, it was already going to be a long summer, but it got made even longer with that suspension. And, man, it's been a pretty eventful 2 or 3 weeks for Nazem, with where he's been in the middle of everything good and bad around this team, it's felt like.
Just gives him a week longer to work on his shot, as Mike Babcock talks about all the time.
He likes getting that comment in there, does Mike Babcock. And, you know, I understand it on some level. I mean, certainly Nazem produced a whole ton of shots, by far the most number of shots he's generated in a season, but he had a 6.5% shooting percentage, which, you know, if he had just shot 10%, which is his career, he would have scored 27 goals this year instead of 17. And, you know, I don't know that that's all down to the shot, but, you know, the coach's point is well made. And I would think if Nazem shows up to camp next September and doesn't have a little bit more zip on his puck, he'll be hearing from the coach on that one.
Chris, it's hard to critique the young guys that are coming up, especially in the circumstances with what's going on. But you know, one of the players that has, you know, been up through a second tour of duty now is Kasperi Kapanen. 6 games now, no goals, no assists, no points, -1. Is there any concern with a short sample piece that we've seen of him that maybe he isn't going to be the goal scorer that we thought he was going to be, or is this just a situation, a kid still just trying to find his feet in the NHL?
Yeah, I don't have any concern myself yet, Todd. You know, he had a chance tonight, actually. Good opportunity, almost there, to get his first NHL goal. And you know, I think the reality for Kasperi Kapanen is that he's very likely to start next year in the AHL and possibly to spend a good chunk of time there. You know, I don't see him as being as far along in his development, certainly as William Nylander. They're the same age, and we're taking in the same draft. But, you know, I sense that he's maybe a step behind, and you know, some consistency issues with him, and he's acknowledged that with the Marlies at times where he's looked great and other periods where he's really disappeared. So I think that he's still very much a work in progress, but you know, we're seeing some of that skill, and you know, if he's able to put in, you know, the positive strides here, starting with a good playoff run, hopefully for the Marlies, you know, there's every reason to believe he's got NHL level talent, but I just think he has a little ways to go here. So I'm not going to judge, I guess, the 6 games in one way or another almost. I think that his next call-up, whenever that may be, will be probably a truer test of, you know, what his future is in the NHL.
Yeah, Chris, we're keeping you a long time. We'll let you go soon, but just, you know, moving to some other games. Yeah, it wasn't a game tonight, but boy, one thing about the Leafs, they're going out with their heads held high, I got to say. Edmonton on Saturday, I think Todd McClellan, like, it, you know, to go through the season he has, and then the Battle of Alberta finish like that, and hopefully they can close the building in better fashion Wednesday against the Vancouver Canucks. But, man, that even with Connor McDavid, that is one sorry, sorry finish for yet another Edmonton Oilers season.
Yeah, and, you know, the organization, Peter Chiarelli and Todd McClellan, were hoping that it, you know, obviously they're going to finish near the bottom or at the bottom of the standings either way. But I think that with Rexall Place, you know, closing up here shortly, the hope was that they would put on a strong finish and, you know, at least try to take something small and very small, I realize, but a positive to the season. And to get beat 5-0 on Saturday, we heard McClellan's comments were pretty scathing. And, you know, this is of relevance to the Leafs. And, you know, Gord, it's not always my favorite topic, but I can't deny that you know, when we're this close to the end of the season, you have to watch the standings to see where the teams are at. And, you know, Edmonton and the Leafs are tied at the bottom with 67 points, but the Leafs have one more game played. So it'll be interesting to see if the Oilers are able to rebound from that. I'd be stunned if we didn't see a better game when they play Vancouver in the final game at Rexall Place. You know, a national televised game with Bob Cole on the call you know, sort of a lot, you know, a lot of the alumni, I believe, will be in the building to witness that. So, you know, that's likely a game we'll see a better one from the Oilers. But it's tough to imagine how disappointing this year is from top to bottom in that organization, because, you know, I don't think anyone saw them as being, you know, locks to make the playoffs or anything like that. But they were certainly expected to be in the mix and to show a lot better. I mean, even the fact that they are tied with the Leafs, I mean, we all entered this year knowing what it was all about in Toronto and knowing that they were likely to be down in the basement. But, you know, to have Edmonton there again and after, you know, what they've been through the last 10 years is a tough one to explain. And I think it's going to lead to some significant changes this summer.
Chris, appreciate it as always. Thanks very much, pal.
No problem, guys. We're getting down to the nitty gritty now.
We absolutely are. Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca joining us. Sorry, Chris, I missed you there a little bit there as take a look. Are we talking about tonight's 4-3?
I think he was going to say 9 periods to go.
Well, you're good at that.
I heard him say it. That's what I thought he said. Anyways.
Well, you know what? Let's, you know, as our producer Matt Brown eats another Joe Louis or Loon Moon, whatever he's eating here, we can, Half Moon. Okay. We can take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. We mentioned the Florida Panthers 4-3 victors over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. And some of the action, maybe we'll just go back and forth a little bit. I will take the first game as far as it goes. The Tampa Bay Lightning, New York Islanders, it's a 5-2 win for the New York Islanders over the Tampa Bay Lightning. And certainly, you know, it's funny, John Tavares tore a strip off his team a little while ago. Steven Stamkos had done it as well. John Tavares, a goal and two assists in pacing them for the victory. He's got 30 goals now for the season, Johnny T. And that's a big win for the New York Islanders. Do you think the Tampa Bay Lightning call up Jonathan Drouin? I mean, earlier today, successful surgery, which, you know, we always hear, and it's good to hear with Steven Stamkos. Do you think they call him up?
I think that's a very good call. I mean, I don't know, but I talked to one of my buddies that was following Drouin, and he was injured. He was scratched last game due to injury down in Syracuse. So I'm not too sure if he will be back or not, but he was injured the other day. So, but I would think that would be a natural fit if he's playing extremely well or he's doing well and he's the first call. Why wouldn't you bring him in, right?
New York Rangers clinch a playoff spot, a 4-2 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Nick Foligno, both goals for Columbus. He's got 11 for the season. Where were you when you were needed? That's been one of the big mysteries. He gets a big contract in Columbus. Kreider, Boyle, Zuccarello, and Derek Stepan, the usual suspects. You know, you look at Stepan and Kreider, both, that's their 20th goals of the season, Todd, and that's what the Rangers are going to go anywhere in the playoffs. Their balanced scoring, their balanced attack is going to be key.
Well, I think that's part of it, but the big guy for me is Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, he's got to be the guy again. He has to be able to pull the wagon right now and basically, you know, take this team on his back. You need the guys to score, but you got to have that guy in the back end that's going to be making the big saves day in and day out, and he is capable of doing it, obviously.
Pulled for the 7th time on the weekend. He'd only been pulled 7 times over 4 years, the previous 4 years, so it's been a little strange what's gone on there as far as it goes with him, and it just seems like, I know talking to guys in New York, that they find that it's kind of a fragile defensive scheme, that if you get to them, quite often they break down. You know, they kind of do what's happening. It's not Lundqvist, it's the defensive structure, and that's why they've pulled him most of those games.
Yeah, and I believe it was tonight. I'm not sure which who went down again. One of the defensemen went back, blocked a shot again. I'm sure it's not what they want to see right now. But, yeah, they've got to be healthier in that back, and they've got to be making the first pass out, not trying to be too creative. But at the end, you know, Henrik Lundqvist is your last line of defense, and he's got to get the job done. And like I said, if there's one game, a game seven, there's only a couple goaltenders in the league that you would want playing that game seven. And for me, Henrik Lundqvist is one of those goaltenders. So as he goes, I believe the Rangers are going to go.
St. Louis Blues, 5-2 victors over the Arizona Coyotes. Brian Elliott gets a start. Wondering about Jake Allen's status. He was hurt the other night. That'll be an interesting one. Of course, injuries rearing their other ugly heads. On the Arizona side, Anthony Duclair getting his 20th goal of the season. Arizona actually had a 2-0 lead early in the game. Then St. Louis came back with 5 unanswered goals. And let's see, for Brouwer, Brodziak, Tarasenko, Berglund among the scorers, 37 goals for Vladimir Tarasenko this season. He is beyond the real deal.
Oh, he's an unbelievable player. And that, again, there's a team that every single year they've seemed to have underachieved. They go into the blue in the playoffs as a favorite and they bow out. And that's a problem with the West, right? You run into a buzzsaw, whether it's Anaheim or whether it's you know, LA in the first round. It's so difficult out of that Western Conference to try to get through. But, you know, this may be the year for the St. Louis Blues. They've got the goaltending and they have the scoring up front that may be able to get them through. I was going to mention one thing. The injury I was talking about in New York was Ryan McDonough went down and took a slap shot in that game in Columbus, and I don't believe he came back. So if New York lost a guy like Ryan McDonough, that could be a tough situation for those guys.
And one game still in progress. Kyle Clifford has just scored his 3rd of the season to give the LA Kings a 2-1 lead in the second period of the Vancouver Canucks. Tyler Toffoli, his 30th of the season, get the first LA King goal. Emerson Edom scores the 1 goal for Vancouver. So the game in Vancouver, again, you want them to put on a good effort. That's what it's about, good efforts on home ice. And I don't know if this is a good effort or not, but they're keeping the score tight. But Vancouver was one of those teams that the Toronto Maple Leafs were getting a little too perilously close to last weekend before they went to Buffalo and basically have started to run the table in not winning games of late. But 2-1 right now, Los Angeles leads Vancouver about halfway through the second period.
A quick side note on the Kyle Clifford goal. Did you know what his nickname is?
Clifford the Big Red Dog?
His nickname is the Colonel.
Really? Now, why is that? Do you have any idea?
Well, Kyle Clifford, KFC.
Oh, gosh.
Very good.
I can't think as deep as you, the Colonel.
I'm sorry, the Colonel, but it's Frank. Oh, I just killed that one. Producer Matt gave me a joke and I blew it. It's supposed to be Frank Colonel, middle name Frank.
Yeah.
His middle name's Frank.
Okay,
right?
So KFC.
KFC.
Yeah.
I butcher. I'm not gonna try to tell jokes.
I was thinking, if there was a player named Harlan Sanders, then that would be Colonel Sanders and that kind of stuff. But anyway, the joke worked. The joke played.
No, it didn't. It was terrible.
Little look at our out of town scoreboard that went on that way. And again, taking a look, chatted with Chris Johnson extensively about the game tonight. Florida Panthers, 4-3 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nazem Kadri earlier in the day announced that he'd be suspended for all four remaining Toronto Maple Leaf games for the rest of the season. Shots on goal, 36-25 Florida. Nick Bjugstad led Florida with 6 shots on goal. Steven Kampfer, who you mentioned had the great hit on Frankie Corrado, he had 4 shots on net for the Maple Leafs. Who's got 6 there? Colin Greening. Wow. He scored 2 goals.
It's my boy.
6 shots on goal. Yeah, he got 6 of the 25 shots. He really is your boy.
Listen.
He really continues to impress.
He's done everything well tonight. And one thing that you know that, if you're watching the game closely tonight, Grabanson today, Eric Grabanson, he was chiming him. He thought that Colin Greening gave him a cheap shot, and he came at him. There was a face-off. There was a big situation where they're going back and forth 1-1. Colin Greening is a large mammal. Like, this guy is a big man, and he can stand up for himself. Today, he goes to the dirty areas, and his goals that he scored, he showed that he has a scoring touch in the high slot on one of his goals, and the second one was driving to the net and getting a nice feed from Tyler Bozek for 2 goals. This guy, all he's done since he's come from Ottawa, and where he was playing in the minors, mind you, has been impressive. And he's a big guy that can skate, and he's shown that he has a scoring touch. Maybe he has found a fountain of youth here in Toronto. But I'll tell you right now, Colin Greening has been one of the best Leaf forwards since the trade deadline.
That's it. We'll come back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 4-3 Florida Panther win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Courts Delic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Morgan Rielly for Toronto pumps it around the wall to the far side. Onto it quickly is Nylander. Nylander centering into the slot. A shot scores! Colin Greening set up rather adroitly there by William Nylander. And the Leafs are on the board officially now. Gardner in front and a wrist shot taking his block. Gardner in front of the net. They score! Greening!
And there we go. A little bit of some of the collage of some of the Leaf action tonight. It was a loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs, 4-3. They lose to the Florida Panthers tonight. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, we take a look at the goals tonight, Todd. And no score. After one period of play, shots on goal were 9-7. In favor of the Florida Panthers. And then we get to period number 2. And it comes, I would say, rather quick, kind of spread out, actually. 1:34 mark. Nick Bjugstad is 14th from Ekblad and Smith.
Yeah, this goal all started on some really nice work by Rielly Smith down low. So Rielly Smith's working the puck and gets the puck back up to Ekblad to the point. Ekblad takes a shot that kind of knuckles its way to Bernier, who makes the first save on it. But Bjugstad, this is a situation where you've got to work on your defensive positioning. And this is where Frankie Corrado is kind of on the wrong side of Bjugstad. And Bjugstad is able to corral the rebound. Frankie's on the wrong side of the defensive side of, of, of Bukestad, and Bukestad then puts the puck in on the rebound. Nice first save by Bernier, but Bukestad's there to get the collect the rebound. 1-0 Panthers.
1-0 Panthers. Then the 10:31 mark. Rocco Grimaldi, a second of the year from Hudler and Purcell.
Yeah, Rocco Grimaldi. He's the benefactor of a neutral zone rush that sees Teddy Purcell start off the rush at his own blue line. Purcell, he feeds the puck to Hudler, who in turn sends the puck wide to a streaking Grimaldi. And Grimaldi skates hard over the Leafs' blue line and sends a laser of a snapshot. Top shelf, top cheese over Bernier's glove. It's 2-0 Panthers.
And Grimaldi, yet another player from Phil Housley's Team USA gold medal team a few years ago that played, that won the World Junior Hockey Championships. Boy, pretty well all of those guys have made it to the NHL in some way, shape, or form. He's a guy that's been a bit of a swing guy in Florida. And maybe he'll swing a lot less as he gets another goal, a two-goal game, his third of the season, now at the 13:11 mark. So two minutes and 40 seconds later from Smith.
Just like you said, the 5'6", 180-pound Grimaldi, he does score 2 minutes and 40 seconds apart. After a defensive zone turnover created again by Riley Smith, who sends a pass across ice to Grimaldi, who fires a one-timer over the blocker of Bernier. So one over the glove, one over the blocker. It's 3-0 Panthers.
Take a look. 3-0 Florida Panthers. The shots on goal, the second period of play. Florida outshoots Toronto Maple Leafs 17-7, scoring those three unanswered goals. And then credit the Toronto Maple Leafs. A little bit of fight in them. 5:50 mark on the power play in period number three. Colin Greening is fifth from Nylander and Morgan Riley.
Yeah, this is a situation where William Nylander shows incredible skill. There's a hard wraparound dump in that he picks up on his backhand on the half wall. He does a spinorama from his backhand to his forehand and finds Colin Greening in the high slot, who fires in a wrist shot, low glove side on Montoya. And this is Greening just, this is again, he's showing a situation where he does have a skill set. The guy's a big guy. He can skate. He can create traffic. But he also has a taste for the back of the net, or sense for the back of the net, and scores a big goal and gets him right back in. It's 3-1.
Then we've got TJ Brennan at the 8:54 mark. I know everyone's favorite from his great work with the Toronto Marlies. First of the year from Clune and Boys.
This is the one that we were talking about earlier. They're going to review and they're trying to find out if this is a goal or not. I mean, it's a mad scramble. And it's a rebound after Brad Boy's shot, which came from the right of Montoya. It turns into a mad scramble where Clune and Fraze are looking for the puck. Clune makes contact with Montoya after Fraze crashes the net. So TJ Brennan then skates in from the blue line, finds a puck, and scores his first goal of the year for the Leafs. It's a 3-2 Panthers lead, but this is a situation where Clune does make contact, but it's deemed that someone hits Fraze from behind, who in turn hits Clune, goes into the net. The goal counts. It's 3-2 Panthers.
But then very quickly, it only is 36 seconds later, the Panthers, their 27th, Barkov is 27th from Huberdeau and Ekblad. So they get the two-goal lead again.
Yeah, Barkov scores the fourth goal of the game for the Panthers. And it's just another mad scramble in front of Bernier. And he just picks up a rebound. He's able to bury it by him. Not a lot he could have done. Again, there was a ton of traffic in front of Bernier. That makes it 4-2 Panthers.
Colin Greening, second of the game, sixth of the season for him from Bozak and Parenteau. Rounds it out, 11:53 for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, really nice play by Tyler Bozak. So Colin Greening comes in and scores. And, Tyler Bozak handles a rebound that comes in on goal. And the puck lands in his feet of Montoya. Or in front of Montoya, and Bozak then just, he takes his time, he gathers his senses, and he sees a streaking Greening who's coming off of the bench and heads right towards the net, and Bozak makes a really, really nice pass to Greening, who has an open net to make it a one-goal game. It's 4-3 Panthers.
Shots on goal in the third period of play, 11-10 in favor of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Florida Panthers outshoot the Maple Leafs 36-25, and 4-3 winners in regulation time. I'm just, looking at some of the... I still find it amazing to see Martin Marinson playing 25 minutes. 25 minutes and 13 seconds. Morgan Riley played 26 minutes and 35 seconds. But just more in Marinson's case, because he was such a spot utility player early on this season. And he has certainly got the confidence of head coach Mike Babcock, which is the key guy.
Well, he certainly has. But this is the thing. You've got Frankie Crowder, TJ Brennan, Andrew Camel. Martin Marinson is basically the third guy back there behind Gardner and Riley, but he's playing, first 2 minutes as a guy. And this is a guy that that Babcock really enjoys having, and he's had a good time trying to work with this kid and make him an NHLer. You know, who knows what his future is going to be. Maybe he's back next year. All indications say that he will be back with the Leafs next year.
Lance Hornby of the Toronto Sun joining Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, and Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. And, you know, Lance, one of the great things about you is you've covered things through thick and thin throughout the year. So I don't know what you're looking for this last week of the season, but what did you take away from tonight's game?
Well, I think a lot of people have brought this up before, is if you look at all the Canadian teams who are all kind of woe is me about missing the playoffs, perhaps the most optimism is placed in Toronto. And a lot of that, you know, has to do with what this club has seen in the last month or so, you know, missing obviously some big names, but a lot of the young guys have stepped up. And I guess maybe tonight a guy like Freddie Gauthier is somebody who stood out, big role in killing off five penalties, got clobbered a bit in faceoffs, but he's getting better and better at it. Was working this morning with Brooks Lake on the best way to take draws and use those big feet of his. I was asking him after the game. He says he takes about a size 14 or 15 skate, and that really helps, I guess, when you're, you know, the puck's dropped and you're fighting for possession, then you can get those in there. Gordy will remember how good Peter Zezel was at that kind of thing.
No, absolutely. Yeah, and also how big Ally Frady's skates were. Al's had to get come from like a moose factory up north or something. Yeah,
Peter Zezel had those soccer calves, and he could get any puck back. He was unbelievable in the faceoff draw. Lance, a quick question for you. I mean, Gordon and I kind of, I'm not going to say joke about it, but we talk about, you know, the perfect game for the Toronto Maple Leafs at this stage of the playoffs or the stage of the regular season. You know, there's three games left. They're tied with Edmonton right now for last pick, you know, last place. And, you know, the percentage to get the draft pick, the first overall pick, you know, you'd like to see them have the 20% chance. Is this another situation where it's kind of like the perfect game for Toronto? They come back, they battle, it's entertaining, they don't quit, yet they come up a little bit short and it keeps them down where, you know, realistically you'd like to see them finish.
I think that adds to the optimism I was talking about earlier. You have you know, like you say, a pretty good effort that sort of gives, you know, fans leave with a bit of a smile on their face. It wasn't obviously a great second period, and Mike Babcock made that pretty clear. He was disappointed at what happened with a couple of veterans and, you know, too much time in the penalty box. But, yeah, more often than not, they've had those games where you could say that wasn't too bad. And a couple of nights, they've unexpectedly come out on the right end of it. You know, the 1-0 game in Detroit a few nights ago, the odd clunker here and there, but they're not getting blown out. It's certainly not a situation like last year when there's a huge disconnect from the coaching staff to the dressing room to the leadership group, you know, even down to the bare minimum as far as the roster goes, and throwing a lot of rookies in there and a couple of Marley call-ups playing on defense and Brennan and Campbell. You know, they're hanging in, and really the pain that everyone talked about is only three or four games left to go, and you can't say that the worst is over. I'm sure next year is going to be going to have its difficulty too, but this might be the part of the rebuild where people look back, you know, and laugh about. Remember 2015-16 when they were we hit the bare minimum and nothing seemed to be going right, but they certainly been able to have a lot of young guys making impressions.
You know, I look at a guy like Tyler Bozak, who's been around for a while, and I just think, Lance, it's an overused word, culture, but they have changed the culture. Like, he was a bit of a follower, and I'm sorry, but, you know, salute gate and then them lying afterwards about it as a team was just a killer, and just, you know, just spoke to the leadership role, the leadership group that went on and the followers that were looking up to that. And you tweak it a little bit, and then some of the key followers, it becomes more of a positive than a negative.
Well, yeah, that was, you know, certainly the low point last year. There was really nobody to take charge in the room. It was, you know, it goes back, and you don't want to pin it all on the captain. You know, Dion Phaneuf perhaps wasn't particularly suited for the role, but, you know, he did his best. It was his, you know, he wasn't given a lot maybe to work with for a while. And really you've seen, you know, we might be in a situation here, Gord, where trial by fire makes people stronger. And I think Tyler Bozak's probably a pretty good example of that. And I guess the big one's going to be
Nazem Kadri. He's the big, he's a big question mark here. He's certainly going to be part of the team going forward, but just, you know, right earlier this evening, you don't hear, this latest situation he's involved in with the four-game suspension. There's a reason you don't hear his name as a team captain or, you know, as a part of maybe a top lieutenant on the club. But he's a player. I think certainly he's trying to make an impression. Sometimes he goes overboard, but he'll be an interesting one to watch, I think, in the next couple of years, certainly if he's trying to re-sign here for a few more seasons.
Lance, back to the Florida Panthers tonight. I mean, you look at the Eastern Conference, and obviously the team that you think is going to win it all in the East is probably going to be Washington. They're going to be the favorites. Pittsburgh's come on with 100 points right now, but Florida's sitting at 99 points. It looks like they're going to finish the top of the Atlantic Division. After watching them tonight, you know, they got a great mix of youth and veterans. Like, do you see this team doing damage in the playoffs, or is it the type of team that maybe just is going to need a year in the playoffs before they can actually go pretty deep? Or is this a team that you actually think can you know, cause some upsets and create some surprises?
Well, you know what? As always, it seems to be something goes amiss, and it may be the injuries that Tampa has suffered, because they're obviously a team, too, that has some of the attributes you just mentioned. But, it's much different than the first year that Florida went very deep in the playoffs two or three years after expansion. That was more of all the stars aligning the right way. But this is a team, you know, that maybe Leaf fans could look at and say, you know, they built, like you say, from the bottom up, patient with draft choices. They've got the right mix of veterans. And, you top it all with a guy like Jaromir Jagr having the year that he has had. You know, certainly I think this team could do some damage. They're, legitimate chances, legitimate contenders to come out of the East. They also have the goaltending, which is really key at this time of the year, and I think relatively healthy. And you look at the way that their defenses come together, the Branson people like that, Barkov, the way he's turned it on, and then, obviously, that's Vlad Huberto, the guys that they built before that. So this is what it looks like for Toronto fans maybe 3 or 4 years down the road. Unfortunately, a lot of these teams, or at least for sort of spinning their wheels, were able to get the foundation built on a playoff contender.
Well, Lance, I know the kind of writing you get. You're going to knock the Blue Jays off the front page of the sports section tomorrow with the Leaf story. So I'm looking forward to that, Lance. Thanks for joining us tonight.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Lance Hornby joining us from the Toronto Sun. And, I do want to hear from one player, and it's the Todd Olushko favorite, and a lot of people's favorites, as we chat about two goals tonight coming up for Colin Greening. 60 minutes, 27 seconds of ice time. 6 shots on goal he had. And here he is after the 4-3 loss, so not good as a team, but a good game as an individual, Colin Greening.
He's been pretty happy with the effort after that second period.
Yeah, I mean, but again, it's bittersweet. Obviously, when you think about what you just said after the second period, I mean, that even in the first period, I think we got away with one without being a goal down, and then the second period just snowballed from there. But I thought we showed some resiliency coming back in the third, but it was too little too late.
You and Branson seemed to have a bit of a go. Can you kind of, from your perspective, what was going on there?
Well, I think he took liberties with a hit I had on him, and I thought it was clean. But, he was pretty upset, just emotions kind of taking over the game.
And then you hit him afterwards behind the net, too. It looked like another clean check, and he kind of was shaken up on that one. I'm not sure if you noticed that or not.
No, I didn't notice that one. That was... I can't recall. I know the first hit that you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
The loss of Kadri is yet another offensive player gone, yet you guys keep finding goals somewhere, like tonight.
Yeah, I just wish they were at the, the first part of the game, as opposed to the latter part of the game. But both goals were great passes. Obviously, one from Nylander and then the other one from Bozak. So I think it was just more of the kind of Johnny on the spot with those two goals. But, I think it shows the kind of depth of talent and go from there.
The season's almost over. I don't know what goalie interference is, do you?
I think I have an idea, but, it changes every single game. And it's so subjective, too. So each person has its own opinion on it, and I guess the people that look at it, they're the ones that kind of decide, so you got to respect their decision.
How frustrating is it, though, as a player, because you're probably always on the edge, are you?
Well, a little bit. I think as long as you stay out of the crease. You kind of know which area that you're supposed to be in, and I think you'll be okay. But there's times when you get pushed in or you're a little bit close and stuff like that happens. But I think it's just kind of knowing your boundaries around the goal.
Do you think you'd get to 100 NHL points? Early in the season, if obviously it was.
No. I mean, short answer would be no. I think for me, just kind of the journey that I've taken, especially the last year and a half, it's, you never know if you're going to get another shot back in the NHL. You try to stay positive. But, yeah, it's pretty special. I know that it'd be pretty special for my parents back in Newfoundland.
Yeah, neat. I went to Cornell. Bright, bright guy. Bright guy, Colin Greening. And a guy that caught your eye from game number one and now catching more people's eyes, two goals tonight.
Well, when he was in Ottawa, when he did play there, I always liked his skating. I thought he had a really good ability. He always kept within himself and didn't try to do things that are outside of his skill set, which means he drove the puck wide, he shot the puck extremely well, and he moves well for a big guy, 6'2", 210. A good old Eastern boy from St. John's, Newfoundland. They breed those guys big and tough and apparently very smart, an Ivy League school grad.
Yeah, and a straight-A student, you name it, all that good stuff. Well, Mike Babcock, we'll hear from the Maple Leaf head coach when we come back again. We'll see what he has to think about tonight's game. Like we said, it's relatively entertaining, but at the end of the day, they don't win, which is what most fans want as far as trying to retain the best lottery position possible. It was a 4-3 win for the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And it's like we talked about the past hour or so, as we've talked about the game tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs defeated 4-3 by the Florida Panthers, and kind of the playing out the string this week. It was an interesting game. There was a little bit of everything. Certainly, what is it, a world record for prospective replays, challenges, wannabe replays, almost replays, a strange, strange game, as you do a little bit more of a recap.
It was unbelievable. I mean, you didn't know what was going on. There was so much crease crashing tonight. Thank goodness that if you don't have a challenge, if you lose a challenge after you challenge one that makes sense, you lose it. So there could have been 15 challenges on both sides. One of those strange games today where you are just going to the net and you're hoping the puck's going to be there. That's what happened tonight. A lot of strange goals, but nonetheless, you've got to say again, this is kind of the perfect outcome.
Yeah.
Another hockey
game.
That's
right, especially at home.
Yeah, exactly. A very good game. They fall behind 3-0, come back, make it a game, ends up being 4-3, hard fought, fans leave, very entertaining, yet the Leafs still hold that last spot in the play. Well, not Edmonton first, but they're tied in points with Edmonton. I mean, a great outcome tonight. It was a very exciting hockey game.
And as we mentioned earlier, we took a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll do that again later on. And again, we'll chat about the Edmonton Oilers and a little bit more look around the National Hockey League. But you're exactly right in that, this is what we all expected. Expected. I can't quite get the terminology, but last Thursday, and you and I were both vocal about it in that, people start getting annoyed. Well, what do you mean you're not supposed to win? And it's not like you're not supposed to win, but part of the plan was, okay, trade deadline comes, Dion Phaneuf's gone, Roman Polak's gone, everybody else is injured, and they're legitimately injured. There's no fake injuries, and you call the kids up, and the kids do really well, and that's a positive. And then you're on the verge last Thursday of falling from, at one point, 30th overall to 24th overall.
Yeah.
And that wasn't part of the plan. I mean, that really wasn't part of the plan. And I don't mean to say it's astute management that you are back to being 29th overall, but it is. It is. That was the deal. And again, you come up with games like tonight, games like the other night where they battled Detroit. I mean, Jimmy Howard was the difference. And if it went again, I got the video, like the video replay goals, the goals, I'm still mixed up. Like it's, and even the announcers were just saying it was a very confusing game.
Yeah, you never know. I'm the same way, Gord. I don't know what is goal interference and what isn't. There was a couple goals that I thought were outright not going to be called, and they got called, and then vice versa, one what wasn't a goal when I thought it should. I mean, it was all over the map. But at the end of the day, one of those games, again, like you said, that you know, it was a good game to watch. The outcome was, you know, if you're gonna follow the course this year, again, there's no such thing as tanking. There's not one guy in that Leaf lineup tonight that went out there with the thought process, I'm going to lose this game because I want us to have a higher draft pick. It doesn't go. That's not in the DNA of players that are actually playing the game. But, you know, your lineup is weaker and everyone assumes that you're trying to tank the game. You know, they're not trying to tank. But right at this particular moment, they got three more games left. It doesn't make sense to win games. I know that you want to go out and win it, but you want to finish where you are. And to your point, the plan was to have a high pick this year. You know, right now the plan seems to work. So I hope they don't divert from that by getting three meaningless wins as you come down the stretch. That's bad to say, but as a fan, I want to see him get a nice high draft pick and give them the best possibility of getting that first overall.
Well, all you have to do is look at the other team. And we talked about in the first hour that you look at what they have done in the draft. You've got a first overall pick in Ekblad. You've got a second overall pick in Barkov, 2 third overall picks in Huberdeau and Gudbranson. And, you know, and that's part of what the Maple Leafs are looking to emulate. So they've got Mitch Marner. They've got Nylander. They weren't top three picks, but they seem like they're good picks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the one this year. So I think actually in a lot of ways it's a good model what we saw tonight.
Oh, it certainly is. You've got a mix of youth and veterans. And that's a thing that you're not only going to have to rely on the draft this year, you're going to have to look at some veteran pieces that are going to fill in the same way they have in Florida. I mean, Luongo as a goaltender, obviously, is a big piece. Jagr and even like Willie Mitchell, who is not playing right now. But they've got a lot of older guys that are complementary pieces to the young guys, and the young guys are learning from these veteran players. And that's exactly what you want to see and you want to surround people with, are having some serious core veteran guys that these young guys can look up to and emulate and become, you know, good pros. So, I mean, and it was a tough break for Toronto too tonight. Obviously, they lost Nazem Kadri to 4-game suspension for that cross-check on Glenn Denning in Detroit, which we spoke about during that game, and we were shocked that it was only a 2-minute minor penalty. We
Absolutely.
Thought at that point Jeez. that should have been a 5-minute major and would have got reviewed by the league. He didn't get the 5-minute major, but it did get reviewed, and I concur. I thought the 4-game suspension was warranted. And we'll get to that later.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we talked about that earlier on the show about it, and just that, you know, Greg Kimmerle, his last game, and a well-respected official.
Yeah.
And so now he gets involved in a disciplinary hearing. And wait, and it's not on Greg Kimmerle. There's four officials
sure.
that can make that call. The linesman can make that call if you see a major or something that warrants it. So imagine though now, if in the Detroit Red Wings point of view.
Have they lost?
Yeah.
I know.
That, you know, you had the 3 minutes extra power play time. You had Nazem Kadri, who played a pretty good game, that would have got kicked out of the game. So
they would have been losing their marbles had they lost that game. That's for sure.
And again, tonight, as we say, we're chatting about a 4-3 Florida Panther win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, in a, you know, night that we saw the Toronto Blue Jays win. I know many people here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan listen to that Blue Jay game tonight. Exciting game. And again, we keep going back to the Toronto-Florida game, that it had its moments as well. And I'm liking that now they have, you know, basically at home come up with solid effort since the trade deadline. They really have, because there were so many clunkers early on. And I always said, having, you know, and you've been experienced playing for teams that did well and teams that didn't do so well.
Mm-hmm.
But the key was you can't, and this is what Todd McLellan was just enraged about. I mean, the Battle of Alberta on Saturday, are you serious?
That was embarrassing.
I mean, this place where, as my good friend Jim Pavlinski said back in the 1980s, that they're amazed nobody got killed in an Edmonton Oilers Calgary Flame game, whether it was in Calgary or in Edmonton, and you had that kind of effort. And the Oilers are doing that at home. Winnipeg Jets win at home last night 5-1. You know, Arizona shuts out Washington at home, their final home game, 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just Edmonton seemingly in a class by themselves, and good on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Toronto Maple Leafs, as you know, people are going to debate whether they're tanking or not. I mean, everyone else that's in the league is saying, look at the lineup they're dressing. Well, they've got legitimate injuries and they're calling guys up and they're giving their prospects an opportunity to play. So what they're doing isn't tanking. They're playing hard. And to your point, Gord, these guys are coming out tonight. They're losing 3-0 to Florida. They could have packed it in so easily, said enough of this. Are you kidding me? I'm going to get my golf clubs out in a week. I'm going to head down to Florida, have a little bit of fun. But these guys, every single game that they've been playing since the trade deadline, have been giving it their all. And that's exactly what we talked about. You know, you can play the young guys and you can, you know, but you try to win. And it, regardless of what your lineup has, you want to see an effort out there. And the Toronto Maple Leafs have been putting in 100% every single game. And that's Mike Babcock, to his credit. He instills that in these guys. And obviously, you're a young guy, you want to impress, you want to be here around next year. But to this game specific tonight, it was a 3-0. They were down 3-3 goals. They came back. They very well could have tied it at the very end there. It's a good effort. And I'm just reiterating that it's not bad hockey to go to the rink and watch. Guys are paying good money to watch the Leafs right now this time of year. Dads are taking their kids. Moms are taking their daughters. They're getting good value, and they're seeing young kids flourish right before the rise, and these are young guys that are going to be probably part of the future for years to come.
Yeah, and the other part you saw as well is when the Maple Leafs thought they tied it. Again, one of the seemingly hundreds of disallowed goals tonight or whatever.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That's what they were doing. I mean, they were pumped. They were out there. They were full measure about saying, look, you know, I don't care about getting 0 points. I want to get one and possibly two in this game. So again, we keep going round and round, but that was the kind of idea tonight as they played that kind of game. I don't know I'm trying to think of situations. There's been very few situations similar to that. We chatted with Lou Lamoriello on Saturday about that. I don't think he's ever quite faced something this comparable in his days with the New Jersey Devils. Have you ever been in something this comparable?
Yeah, no, not to this degree right now. It's the teams that I were on, we would miss the playoffs, but we were never in the situation where it was a complete, we were last place and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do. I haven't been in one of these. It's a tough situation for a general manager to be in. They'd rather be in a playoff spot right now. But again, I think that Lou Lamoriello, I think Mike Babcock are not going to be disappointed with the effort, because that's what it is, Gordon. It's all about an effort, being putting the guys out there. I mean, they have no control over Nazem Kadri. That is a suspension. The other guys that are injured, they're out. They need bodies up here. Yes, you can debate the fact that guys like Zach Hyman that got sent down and others that were playing extremely well, Josh Levo, Connor Brown, they should have stayed up. But that's not what it's about right now. These guys want to see everybody in their organization to evaluate them at an NHL level, and that's what they're doing. And the guys that are coming up are competing, and they're playing extremely hard, and they're trying to vie for positions next year in this team. So what Lou Lamoriello is doing, Mike Babcock – listen, you can't get, they're doing what they're supposed to do right now, and that's give everybody an opportunity and at the same time compete and try to win every game, which they're trying to do.
Again, a 4-3 win for the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Listening to Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Todd Alushko here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So you kind of look ahead now. You've got Columbus and then Philadelphia. And that's going to be a really interesting game. And they had, you know, it's kind of Boston now that's on the outside looking in, which is ironic that the Leafs are looking to do a favor for the team that just game seven a few years ago lives in infamy here for Toronto Maple Leaf fans. But that'll be one that I like what I've seen tonight. I like what I saw on Saturday against the Detroit, more so Saturday against the Detroit Red Wings, where, let's face it, they didn't start Jonathan Bernier. And I've talked about this many times that, hey, Jonathan Bernier is the one guy who struggled when the games really mattered. He's playing great now. Doesn't really help you. I hope he can play great next year. I don't know. I don't know how much this will be a build for next year that way. But they were full measure battling the Detroit Red Wings. They'll do the same against the Philadelphia Flyers. But, you know, we keep going back to that game years ago. Final game of the regular season, New York Islanders, New Jersey Devils. And Lou Lamoriello's New Jersey Devils made it clear Marty Brodeur would not start that game. And wouldn't you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs, by virtue of a big comeback against the Montreal Canadiens on the Saturday, they need the Devils to win that game. And it goes to a shootout. And still, if the Devils win in a shootout over the New York Islanders, Leafs get in. And Ted Nolan's New York Islanders get in. And that was another year not making the playoffs. But the Leafs experienced having to rely on somebody else, that being the Devils, to play, you hope, their best goaltender, Marty Brodeur. And, you know, same like teams like Detroit, Philadelphia, Boston, like you're down to where you're you know, relying on somebody else, but you got yourself in that position.
Well, that's the whole thing, and that's what we talked about in the past, is you can't rely on other people. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can say, oh, I can't believe they didn't start this guy, or This is unbelievable. They're tanking here. You know, at the end of the day, you can only take care of what you can take care of. So don't put yourself in that position. Be in a position where you don't need to rely on anybody else. And that's what's gonna, unfortunately, that's gonna happen to Boston. Is Boston's gonna be relying on Toronto to do them a favor by beating Philadelphia. It would be ironic if Toronto did do that and they helped Boston out, considering everything that happened a bunch of years ago. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting, Gord, with the next couple of games, having Columbus back at home, which is their last game at the Air Canada Center for the rest of the for this season. I don't know what's going to happen in that game. That is, knowing John Tortorella, the way he talks to, he wants to win that game. He's not coming in here to lose that game. He's
an absolutely not.
Coach.
Yeah,
he's the same way as Mike Babcock. It doesn't matter what situation is going on. John Tortorella doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't have an 8-year contract like Mike Babcock here in Toronto. He could be gone next year or the year after, whatever. But so he wants to come in and win that game. But then you're going to head in Detroit, Philadelphia. That is going to be a crazy game there. Philadelphia's going to want it. And then finally, the last game, they're going to be playing in New Jersey, ironically, against Lou's former Devils, and see what happens there. And it would be interesting to maybe see if Toronto would maybe call up Anton Biebel for that game and see what happens. Who knows? I mean,
everybody else seems has been up in that respect to get some time. And, so you've got the Philadelphia Flyers. They'll have 4 games in 5 nights.
Yes.
New York Islanders, 5 games in 7 nights, all because of the couple of games that were called because of snowstorms. So Sunday was supposed to be a clear day, and they've added those games on Sunday. So it'll be interesting if they become compelling as far as the standings go.
Yeah, well, that's a tough one. I mean, I was actually talking to someone from New York today about that, and they're saying, yeah, can you imagine? Look at all the games that we got to play because of Mother Nature. But, that's the way the ball bounces every once in a while, and you're going to have to just try to grit through it and see what happens. But everyone's got their story tonight. I mean, tonight, I guess, New York ended up beating Tampa Bay 5-2, so that was a big game for them tonight. But everyone's got their issues. Everyone has injuries. I mean, look at Tampa Bay today. They lose Stamkos and they lose Stroman. They've lost a bunch of guys, the best defensive guy and their best offensive guy. So everyone has their issues, and it's going to be a war of nutrition to see who gets into the playoffs and then ultimately who can go on and go for a long, nice playoff run on the way to the Stanley Cup.
Boy, taking a look at some of the women's hockey that's going on. Ken Klee, head coach. Ken Klee.
He's the head coach of the U.S. women's team?
I guess he's up there with the women's team. Just, funny. You think about names from the past as we think about all the people that have come through the last little while. And, what strikes me, Todd, is all these guys were acquired in some kind of trade, and they had, decent times or not decent times, or, it's the one part I will totally, totally give the buy-in to Lou Lamoriello and company is these young guys, because that's where Nazem Kadri, why he was so heightened, the expectations and the focus and everything else is because they had nobody else. They've really had no kids coming up. They've traded away draft picks. They've had some that just didn't materialize in any way, shape, or form. So to see so many guys come up and play in a small sampling as well as they had has been extreme positive.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is what it is. You've bought yourself a year or two because everyone's bought into the plan that we're finally going to rebuild and we're going to start from the ground level and we're going to build from within. So this is a situation this year that it's a double-edged sword. It sucks that they're not that competitive and they're going to be finishing dead last or close to dead last. But you have the opportunity now to see all these young kids. If they're in a playoff position right now, like they have been for a bunch of years, they've been battling, and you weren't going to see any of these young guys come up. Number one, because they didn't have that many prospects in the system to bring up. But number two, they're always battling to the bitter end to try to just get in. So they're not just getting in. They're out of it 100%, and they're looking for getting a high draft pick. But in the meantime, you get an opportunity to take a look at your Gauthiers and your Nylanders and all these guys, these Hymans, Kasman. This is a luxury for them, even though they are losing. It sucks to lose, but this is what you have to do when you're rebuilding from within. You have to give these guys an opportunity to develop at the National Hockey League level, and they've had the luxury of doing that this year because of where they are in the standings. So they've done everything according to plan right now, and I think giving everyone an opportunity to play right now is going to do nothing but enhance the chances of these guys to make the team next year.
Toronto Marlies as well. We'll chat a bit more about that on future dates, but it's looking forward to a long Calder Cup run is what you're hoping in the playoffs. And as far as having so many players, but I think everyone has so many players now in the playoffs, but just guys being away for a while. Is there enough time now for Sheldon Keefe? Is it a bigger challenge than we think about trying to get the team together and ready, the kind of the perfect team he would like to have, the best team available for his Toronto Marlies for the playoff run?
Well, I think it'd be a disappointment if they don't go all the way and they don't have a chance to win the Calder Cup. And I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think those guys have played together three quarters of the season. The whole team has been together. As soon as they end up coming back to the Marlies, which it seems like everyone that's up now is going to finish and play the last three games with Toronto just because of injuries and guys that are suspended. So they're going to be it. But as soon as they get back, Gord, I've seen that situation. The chemistry just comes back together. And these guys are going to be fine. This is a team that's got a lot of depth. I think it's great that Campbell came up, as well as TJ Brenning, rewarding these older guys for what they've done with the young guys down there. The same with Rich Kloon tonight. They're going to go back down there and they're going to go on a big run. A championship is a championship. I don't care if it's the National Hockey League or American Hockey League. It feels awesome to win it together. And it's something that you'll talk about for years to come. And this team, the Toronto Marlies, are poised to win a Calder Cup. And I think anything less than a trip to the Calder Cup final for these guys would deem a disappointment.
And unlike three years ago, I guess, when they lost in the final to John Cooper's team from Norfolk, and we've talked extensively about it. We see all those guys with the Tampa Bay Lightning. We didn't see many guys graduate from the Toronto Marlies to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it's a very different. I mean, the guys had Mike Zigomanis and guys like that back then.
It's an older
very, term. Very different makeup this time around. Regardless if they get to the promised land, to the final or not, it's a very different makeup and positive makeup for that team.
Well, you had that team that year, you ended up having a bunch of guys, their core players or their go-to guys were the older guys. And, regardless of how well they did, those guys were not going to be part of the Toronto Maple Leafs organization in the future. It was great for whatever prospects they had there to go through the process, but they weren't going to be part of the big picture for Toronto. And this year, it's a completely different ball of wax. You've got all these young guys, Nylander, Kapanen, Levo. Everyone is their core players are young guys. And now what they have right now is they end up having a couple other old guys that are complementary pieces. So complete reverse fortunes this time.
Well, we heard from him earlier last hour, and why don't we do it once again? We always like to hear from the Maple Leaf head coach. Here he is. It was a 4-3 loss. The Florida Panthers beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, all brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. And here is head coach Mike Babcock.
Second period breakdown issues, but I'm pleased at the way the third unfolded with the pushback.
Yeah, I thought our first was good. I thought our third was good. I didn't think we were near competitive enough, and some of our veteran people in the second period, not good enough. And in the end, that cost us. They got rolling around on us. We went to the box too much, and I thought that led to momentum, and in the end got ourselves in a bad spot.
Mike, you've talked at length about the good things that have happened this year, the accumulation of draft picks, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. The hard thing now is to stay that course and not veer off somewhere else. Do you believe that this organization will stay that course?
Well, I don't know what that means exactly. Like
I guess it's developing, like Florida's done, and take your time and patience and develop a good young team.
Yeah, I mean, but also Florida, when they could acquire Jokinen, they did. When they could acquire Smith, they did. When they could acquire, I think you got to keep building and building and building. But I think when you get an opportunity to acquire people in the age group of your group that fits, I think you got to take advantage of that too. That's part of the reason you build assets. And you know, we're not at that stage yet as far as assets going, but we're going to have too many players. It's pretty apparent, you know, just as watching these kids. So that's a good thing, though. That's what you want. You want competitive battle within, and then other teams will want some of those guys, and that's how you keep getting better. So, it's just a process right now. We like where we're at. I don't like the standings. Don't get me wrong. It's hard to believe you're in the last week of the season, you're not preparing for the playoffs. Yeah, it makes no sense, that part for me. But there's been lots of positive things happen. But now we have to, like you said, we have to keep doing positive things. There's a long way. I don't know how many points we got. There's a long way from that and 100 or 115 or whatever. And there's a long way from where we are to being team that's in the playoffs when the puck's dropped in September and you just know that you're in the playoffs. So that's what we need to get to.
Comment on not having Naz for the last four games and today's decision?
Well, obviously, I mean, huge factor tonight. Like Barkov got wrong. I thought Goat was real good, to tell you the truth. But Naz plays against those people for us. He's a competitive guy. He plays well without the puck. He's hard for us. And so we obviously miss him.
Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock, a 4-3 win for the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, you heard from Babcock in the first hour as well. It is Leafs Nation postgame. 4-3, the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. We'll come back with Chris Johnston next here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Toya plays it around the boards. 5 seconds left. It'll be played to the line, but not out. Chipped in along the boards and into the corner, and that'll do it. Close but no cigars, the old adage in sports.
Well, even the untireable Joe Bowen sounds like at the end there, the final calls of tonight's game is, of course, the Toronto Blue Jays, a big win for them tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs. If you didn't catch it, actually a pretty good battle in many ways, but they lose 4-3 to the Florida Panthers. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame. Switching gears a little bit, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And, of course, we connect as often as we can with our man Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, to chat about the game and what else is going on around the National Hockey League. What can you say about tonight's game, Chris?
Well, it was a heck of a third period by the Leafs. They made it awfully close, and you know, I'll give them credit for that, but clearly not a near complete enough effort, I guess, for them to come away with some points.
Hey, Chris, have you ever seen a game with more controversial calls, interference, not knowing what is goal interference, what isn't? I mean, it was nuts tonight. It seemed like almost every single goal, they had to have a review or the check on something to see if the goal counted or not.
Yeah, there was a lot of it. I have to confess, guys, that for me, I don't mind the reviews. I mean, it disrupts the flow, and obviously in an ideal world, we wouldn't have them. But to me, getting it right is more important than... You know, I've seen some discussion about this, especially the playoffs coming, that there's a thought that they're going to mess it up. But, you know, on both calls tonight, I actually understood it. The first goal that the Leafs scored that was called back, I mean, Brad Boyes, you know, had basically his arm, I think it was inadvertent, in Montoya's face and was preventing him from being able to make that save. And on the one that did count, it was almost like bowling pins there with the guys getting knocked over in front of him. And, you know, I was fine with that one counting. So, you know, it might not be the popular opinion right now, but, you know, I'm okay with what the league's doing with this because, you know, ultimately it is about getting the calls right, and it's a fast game, and, you know, sometimes it's tough to do that in real time.
Yeah, no, I think I speak for Todd as well. I concur with you that way about getting it right. That's what you have the technology for. It was just very unusual to see that many in a short period of time. And I mean, I'm glad it happened, not in a Game 7 of a Stanley Cup Final, for example, but it just was kind of a funny animal that if you just turned on at one time to watch, you would have thought every goal gets reviewed and gets scrutinized that way. Just one of those things.
Well, and I have to think, to be honest, like projecting ahead to the playoffs, we might get a lot of it because, you know, that's where the goals are scored. And you're just not seeing... You know, especially in the playoffs, everything tightened up so much, and the focus is on not making mistakes, I think, defensively for a lot of teams. And, you know, you're going to have almost scrum type of plays, or certain teams will be looking for tips in front and creating some havoc. So, you know, this probably might be a precursor to what we're going to see, I hate to say, because I do understand that the argument. I mean, it felt like that third period took hours to play. And, you know, it's too bad because it had some good zip to it with goals and, the Leafs mounting a pretty, you know, ferocious comeback. But, you know, I'm not sure the answer right now beyond the fact that I just think in today's day and age, we've got to get the calls right and to the best that you can do that. And, you know, sometimes that means slowing the game down, having the refs look at that high definition screen and make a ruling.
Chris, you know, it was a very conscious effort by Mike Babcock tonight to put the Gauthier line out against Barkov's line. And Freddie Gauthier had 20 minutes and 12 seconds against the top line tonight. How do you do?
You know, I thought he did pretty well, all things considered. I know Barkov did score the one goal there to make it 4-2, ultimately the winning goal, just after the Leafs had got it back to 3-2. So that was, you know, a big moment in the game. But, you know, given that Freddie Gauthier is, I don't believe he's yet even 10 games into his NHL career. And you know, while Barkov's a young player, he's clearly going to be a stud in this league for a long time. That was his 27th goal of the season this year. And were he not injured, he'd certainly be a 30-goal scorer on the season. So, you know, given that line has really propelled Florida for a lot, I thought that you know, he did okay in those circumstances. And, you know, I'm sure that's some of what they're trying to do is give these guys a test beyond any that they faced before and you know, just to expose them to, I guess, what this league can be. And, you know, for Freddie Gauthier, a guy isn't the swiftest of foot. I thought he really handled that job pretty well.
TJ Brennan scoring a goal, and Todd seems to have some insight about him, wondering if there's any kind of future in the NHL. Maybe the Calder Cup playoffs will help determine. It seems like this is a guy that has a lot of value over in Europe if he's not going to get an NHL contract next year.
Yeah, I certainly don't think we're going to see him as a regular NHLer. That ship seems to have sailed. I mean, he's produced constantly at the American Hockey League level for 3, 4, 5 seasons. And, you know, he has seen NHL games, you know, a couple each year and you know, even a couple years, I think, was, you know, 20-odd games a season, but never able to last long-term. And I just think at his age, it would be quite surprising to see that happen. I mean, even this year, being on a team where there's so much opportunity for the players playing down at the Barleys, and, you know, he's only seen limited call-up action with the Leafs. So he's got a long future in hockey because, you know, even producing the way he does at the AHL level, I mean, these guys... I don't know his contract off the top of my head, but some of these guys are making $200,000 or $300,000 to play in the AHL on their two-way deals. And, you know, there's obviously good living for him in this, whether it's here in North America or he looks towards Europe at some point, because his shot is an NHL-caliber shot. I just don't know that he has all the rest of the tools to stick here for a long period of time.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I know there's a lot of European coaches and scouts over here right now. I'm actually going to go have lunch with a couple of buddies of mine that own a team over in Germany. So they will be looking at TJ Brennan and trying to get him over there. I can guarantee you that. Chris, Steven Kampfer tonight, not huge numbers in the NHL and stuff, but how about that hit on Frankie Corrado today? I have never seen a guy do basically a complete flip in the air and almost landing on his feet. I mean, that is a highlight hit that you're going to see on every television program for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that was Frankie's Rock'em Sock'em moment there.
Maybe on the maybe bad end of it.
Case, I was going to say, maybe not in this case, one he'll be happy about because he's the one getting hit. But, you know, very fortunate, I think, to your right, to basically do the full flip and land feet first. You know, I'm sure he didn't feel great after that, but there was a lot of potential to, you know, get a knee caught or maybe twist an ankle somehow if he landed it more awkwardly. But, I mean, that was quite something. I don't recall ever seeing a guy go right around like that.
No, never. Not a complete 360. Like, he went right over.
Like, if he didn't, there was a chance he could have stuck the landing if he went just a little bit more and actually, like, kept going. So, I mean,
that was
amazing. It was good to see him get up quickly, though, and finish off the game. And, you know, I think he's all right. But you're right. That no matter what Frankie does now, that'll be probably one of the most played clips for the rest of his career
involving him.
Chris Johnston joining us, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. 4-3, the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Going back a few hours, it's funny, we didn't chat about it much on Saturday after the game, but Todd and I were sitting together, and we were surprised Nazem Kadri didn't get 5 in a game on that Glendinning hit on Saturday. Then we kind of forgot about it. We kind of parked it, right? And it was Greg Kimmerle's last game and refereeing and all these kinds of things. So it was interesting when it came up today about the hearing and the 4-game suspension, about what you expected, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, once I got a chance to digest it, I'll say I in real time, I thought he got the shoulder. And even when I saw some initial replays that night, or one replay, I didn't realize he'd suck him basically flush in the neck or the side of the head. And you know, the Department of Player Safety from the NHL did a good job of identifying a clip that showed that quite clearly. And you know, just given Nazem's history with, you know, having got a 4-game suspension last March, a three-gamer the March before that. You know, that's a tough thing for him to come back from, having previously been suspended for hits or blows to the head and then, you know, doing it again in this case. You know, that to me suggests that he was getting at least four games. I thought maybe even five, but, you know, tough play for him. I mean, it cost him lots of money and you know, he doesn't want to be in for that. But, I mean, probably the toughest punishment of all is he's likely, unless he gets invited to the World Championship to play for Canada, is you know, done playing any level of hockey now until September. And it was already going to be a long summer, but it got made even longer with that suspension. And, man, it's been a pretty eventful two or three weeks for Nazem, with where he's been in the middle of everything good and bad around this team, it's felt like.
Just gives him a week longer to work on his shot, as Mike Babcock talks about all the time.
He likes getting that comment in there, does Mike Babcock. And, you know, I understand it on some level. I mean, certainly Nazem produced a whole ton of shots, by far the most number of shots he's generated in a season, but he had a 6.5% shooting percentage, which, you know, if he had just shot 10%, which is his career, he would have scored 27 goals this year instead of 17. And, you know, I don't know that that's all down to the shot, but, you know, the coach's point is well made. And I would think if Nazem shows up to camp next September and doesn't have a little bit more zip on his puck, he'll be hearing from the coach on that one.
Chris, it's hard to critique the young guys that are coming up, especially in the circumstances with what's going on. But you know, one of the players that has, you know, been up through a second tour of duty now is Kasperi Kapanen. Six games now, no goals, no assists, no points, minus one. Is there any concern with a short sample piece that we've seen of him that maybe he isn't going to be the goal scorer that we thought he was going to be, or is this just a situation, a kid still just trying to find his feet in the NHL?
Yeah, I don't have any concern myself yet, Todd. You know, he had a chance tonight, actually. Good opportunity, almost there, to get his first NHL goal. And you know, I think the reality for Kasperi Kapanen is that he's very likely to start next year in the AHL and possibly to spend a good chunk of time there. You know, I don't see him as being as far along his development, certainly as William Nylander. They're the same age, and we're taking in the same draft. But, you know, I sense that he's maybe a step behind, and you know, some consistency issues with him, and he's acknowledged that with the Marlies at times where he's looked great and other periods where he's really disappeared. So I think that he's still very much a work in progress, but you know, we're seeing some of that skill, and you know, if he's able to put in, you know, the positive strides here, starting with a good playoff run, hopefully for the Marlies, you know, there's every reason to believe he's got NHL level talent, but I just think he has a little ways to go here. So I'm not going to judge, I guess, the six games in one way or another almost. I think that his next call up, whenever that may be, will be probably a truer test of, you know, what his future is in the NHL.
Yeah, Chris, we're keeping you a long time. I'll let you go soon, but just, you know, moving to some other games. Yeah, it wasn't a game tonight, but boy, one thing about the Leafs, they're going out with their heads held high. I got to say, Edmonton on Saturday, I think Todd McClellan, like, it will, you know, to go through the season he has, and then the Battle of Alberta finish like that, and hopefully they can close the building in better fashion Wednesday against the Vancouver Canucks. But man, that even with Connor McDavid, that is one sorry finish for yet another Edmonton Oilers season.
Yeah, and you know, the organization, Peter Chiarelli and Todd McClellan, were hoping that it, you know, obviously they're going to finish near the bottom or at the bottom of the standings either way. But I think that with Rexall Place, you know, closing up here shortly, the hope was that they would put on a strong finish and, you know, at least try to take something small and very small, I realize, but a positive to the season. And to beat 5-0 on Saturday, we heard McClellan's comments were pretty scathing. And, you know, this is of relevance to the Leafs. And, you know, Gord, it's not always my favorite topic, but I can't deny that you know, when we're this close to the end of the season, you have to watch the standings to see where the teams are at. And, you know, Edmonton and the Leafs are tied at the bottom with 67 points, but the Leafs have one more game played. So it'll be interesting to see if the Oilers are able to rebound from that. I'd be stunned if we didn't see a better game when they play Vancouver in the final game at Rexall Place. You know, a national televised game with Bob Cole on the call you know, sort of a lot, you know, a lot of the alumni, I believe, will be in the building to witness that. So, you know, that's likely a game we'll see a better one from the Oilers, but it's tough to imagine how disappointing this year is from top to bottom in that organization, because, you know, I don't think anyone saw them as being, you know, locks to make the playoffs or anything like that, but they were certainly expected to be in the mix and to show a lot better. I mean, even the fact that they are tied with the Leafs, I mean, we all entered this year knowing what it was all about in Toronto and knowing that they were likely to be down in the basement. But you know, to have Edmonton there again, and after you know what they've been through the last 10 years, is a tough one to explain. And I think it's going to lead to some significant changes this summer.
Chris, appreciate it as always. Thanks very much, pal.
No problem, guys. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty now.
We absolutely are. Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining us. Sorry, Chris, I missed you there a little bit there. As take a look, are we talking about tonight's 4-3?
I think he was going to say 9 periods to go.
Was it nine periods to go? You're good at that.
I heard him say it. That's what I said. Anyways.
Well, you know what? Let's, you know, as our producer Matt Brown eats another Joe Louis or Loon Moon, whatever he's eating here, we can Half Moon. Okay, we can take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. We mentioned the Florida Panthers 4-3 victors over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. And some of the action, maybe we'll just go back and forth a little bit. I will take the first game as far as it goes. The Tampa Bay Lightning, New York Islanders. It's a 5-2 win for the New York Islanders over the Tampa Bay Lightning. And certainly, you know, it's funny. John Tavares tore a strip off his team a little while ago. Steven Stamkos had done it as well. John Tavares, a goal and 2 assists in pacing them for the victory. He's got 30 goals now for the season, Johnny T. And that's a big win for the New York Islanders. Do you think the Tampa Bay Lightning call up Jonathan Drouin? I mean, earlier today, successful surgery, which, you know, we always hear, and it's good to hear with Steven Stamkos. Do you think they call him up?
I think that's a very good call. I mean, I don't know, but I talked to one of my buddies that was following Drouin, and he was injured. He was scratched last game due to injury down in Syracuse. So I'm not too sure if he will be back or not, but he was injured the other day. So, but I would think that would be a natural fit if he's playing extremely well or he's doing well and he's the first call. Why wouldn't you bring him in, right?
New York Rangers clinch a playoff spot, a 4-2 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Nick Foligno, both goals for Columbus. He's got 11 for the season. Where were you when you were needed? That's been one of the big mysteries. He gets a big contract in Columbus. Kreider, Boyle, Zuccarello, and Derek Stepan, the usual suspects. You know, you look at Stepan and Kreider, both, that's their 20th goals of the season, Todd, and that's what the Rangers are going to go anywhere in the playoffs. Their balanced scoring, their balanced attack is going to be key.
Well, I think that's part of it, but the big guy for me is Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, he's got to be the guy again. He has to be able to pull the wagon right now and basically, you know, take this team on his back. You need the guys to score, but you got to have that guy in the back end that's going to be making the big saves day in and day out, and he is capable of doing it, obviously.
Pulled for the 7th time on the weekend. He'd only been pulled 7 times over 4 years, the previous 4 years, so it's been a little strange what's gone on there as far as it goes with him, and it just seems like, I know talking to guys in New York, that they find that it's kind of a fragile defensive scheme, that if you get to them, quite often they break down. You know, they kind of do what's happening. It's not Lundqvist, it's the defensive structure, and that's why they've pulled him most of those games.
Yeah, and I believe it was tonight. I'm not sure which who went down again. One of the defensemen went back, blocked a shot again. I'm sure it's not what they want to see right now. But, yeah, they've got to be healthier in that back, and they've got to be making the first pass out, not trying to be too creative. But at the end, you know, Henrik Lundqvist is your last line of defense, and he's got to get the job done. And like I said, if there's one game, a game 7, there's only a couple goaltenders in the league that you would want playing that game 7. And for me, Henrik Lundqvist is one of those goaltenders. So as he goes, I believe the Rangers are going to go.
St. Louis Blues, 5-2 victors over the Arizona Coyotes. Brian Elliott gets a start. Wondering about Jake Allen's status. He was hurt the other night. That'll be an interesting one. Of course, injuries rearing their other ugly heads. On the Arizona side, Anthony Duclair getting his 20th goal of the season. Arizona actually had a 2-0 lead early in the game. Then St. Louis came back with 5 unanswered goals. And let's see, for Brouwer, Brodziak, Tarasenko, Berglund among the scorers, 37 goals for Vladimir Tarasenko this season. He is beyond the real deal.
Oh, he's an unbelievable player. And that, again, there's a team that every single year they seem to have underachieved. They go into the blue in the playoffs as a favorite, and they bow out. And that's a problem with the West, right? You run into a buzzsaw, whether it's Anaheim or whether it's you know, LA in the first round. It's so difficult out of that Western Conference to try to get through. But, you know, this may be the year for the St. Louis Blues. They've got the goaltending and they have the scoring up front that may be able to get them through. I was going to mention one thing. The injury I was talking about in New York was Ryan McDonough went down and took a slap shot in that game in Columbus, and I don't believe he came back. So if New York lost a guy like Ryan McDonough, that could be a tough situation for those guys.
And one game still in progress. Kyle Clifford has just scored his third of the season to give the LA Kings a 2-1 lead in the second period of the Vancouver Canucks. Tyler Toffoli, his 30th of the season, get the first LA King goal. Emerson Edom scores the one goal for Vancouver. So the game in Vancouver, again, you want them to put on a good effort. That's what it's about, good efforts on home ice. And I don't know if this is a good effort or not, but they're keeping the score tight. But Vancouver was one of those teams that the Toronto Maple Leafs were getting a little too perilously close to last weekend before they went to Buffalo, and basically have started to run the table in not winning games of late. But 2-1 right now, Los Angeles leads Vancouver about halfway through the second period.
A quick side note on the Kyle Clifford goal. Did you know what his nickname is?
Clifford the Big Red Dog?
His nickname is the Colonel.
Really? Now, why is that? Do you have any idea?
Well, Kyle Clifford, KFC.
Oh, gosh.
Very good.
I can't think as deep as you, the Colonel.
I'm sorry, the Colonel, but it's Frank. KF. Oh, I just killed that one. Producer Matt gave me a joke and I blew it. It's supposed to be Frank Colonel, middle name Frank.
Yeah.
His middle name's Frank,
okay,
right?
Okay, so KFC.
KFC.
Yeah.
I butcher. I'm not going to try to tell jokes.
I was thinking, you know, if there's a player named Harlan Sanders, then that would be Colonel Sanders and that kind of stuff. But anyway, the joke worked. The joke played.
No, it didn't. It was terrible.
Little look at our out-of-town scoreboard that went on that way. And again, taking a look, chatted with Chris Johnson extensively about the game tonight. Florida Panthers, 4-3 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nassim Kadri, earlier in the day, announced that he'd be suspended for all four remaining Toronto Maple Leaf games for the rest of the season. Shots on goal, 36-25, Florida. Nick Bjugstad led Florida with 6 shots on goal. Steven Kampfer, who you mentioned had the great hit on Frankie Corrado, he had 4 shots on net for the Maple Leafs. Who's got 6 there? Colin Greening. Wow. He scored 2 goals.
It's my boy.
6 shots on goal. Yeah, he got 6 of the 25 shots. He really is your boy.
Listen.
He really continues to impress.
He's done everything well tonight. And one thing that you know that, you know, if you're watching the game closely tonight, Grabanson today, Eric Grabanson, he was chiming him. He thought that Colin Greening gave him a cheap shot, and he came at him. There was a face-off. There was a big situation where they're going back and forth 1-1. Colin Greening is a large mammal. Like, this guy is a big man, and he can stand up for himself. Today, he goes to the dirty areas, and his goals that he scored, he showed that he has a scoring touch in the high slot on one of his goals, and the second one was driving to the net and getting a nice feed from Tyler Bozek for 2 goals. This guy, all he's done since he's come from Ottawa, and where he was playing in the minors, mind you, has been impressive. And he's a big guy that can skate, and he's shown that he has a scoring touch. Maybe he has found a fountain of youth here in Toronto. But I'll tell you right now, Colin Greening has been one of the best Leaf forwards since the trade deadline.
Yeah, Colin Greening, certainly one of the stars in tonight's game against the Florida Panthers. He and the rest of the Maple Leafs in battle Wednesday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And we'll be back on the airwaves right after that game with another edition of Leafs Nation postgame. But tonight, it was a 4-3 win for the Florida Panthers over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Night, Babs.
See you guys.